Caiam dos do Paramahansa Privatica Charges, Tom Terasata Sushimara Divine Grace, AC Bhaktivedanta Swami Chirabhupanki. Caiam dos do Paramahansa Privatica Charges, Tom Terasata Sushimara Divine Grace, Shilbhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakumara Thakupanki. Arandi Bhuti Vaishnavindiki, Kanta Srimad Bhagavatamki, Nitai Guru Premanandi, All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to the Guru. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya. Narayana namaste cham narochevam narochamam devim saraswati vyasam tito jayam mudirayat nascha prayeshwa badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavata ucham astoke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Hare Krishna. So this afternoon, this lecture will be a continuation of the seven purposes of ISKCON, or seven aims of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, as Srila Prabhupada wrote out. I'm saying continuation because the first purpose has already been preached on. So today we continue with the second one. And the second one is linked also very much to the text in Srimad Bhagavatam. So when we get there, I'll bring it up. All right, now, so what are the seven aims or seven purposes of ISKCON? I'm going to read that, okay, and then we'll focus on the second one. So all seven of them are these. One, to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large. And to educate all people in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and to achieve real unity and peace in the world. Number two, to propagate a consciousness of Krishna, God, as it is revealed in the great scriptures of India, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Three, to bring the members of the society together with each other and nearer to Krishna, the prime entity, thus developing the idea within the members and humanity at large that each soul is part and parcel of the quality of Godhead, Krishna. Number four, to teach and encourage the Sankirtan movement, congregational chanting of the holy name of God, as revealed in the teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Five, to erect for the members and for society at large a holy place of transcendental pastimes dedicated to the personality of Krishna. Six, to bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler, more natural way of life. And the seventh and last one, with a view towards achieving the aforementioned purposes, to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books, and other writings. So these are the seven aims of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, of which Srila Prabhupada is the founder and charter. So now we will look at the second one, which is to propagate a consciousness of Krishna, God, as it is revealed in the great scriptures of India, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So, propagate means to spread, to teach, to make sure that it goes, this whatever it is that you're propagating goes all over as far and wide as you can take it. That's propagation. To push hard. Alright. Now, so to propagate a consciousness of Krishna, Krishna consciousness, as it is revealed in the great scriptures of India. In other words, to push Krishna consciousness around the world based on Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So, in that respect, we've chosen one text from Bhagavad Gita and one text from Srimad Bhagavatam. That basically, arguably, sums up what Srimad Bhagavatam is about and definitely sums up what Bhagavad Gita is about. The purpose of human life is described by Śrīla Gosvāmī in Śrīmad Bhāgavatam. And the conclusion of what a person is supposed to do is described in Bhagavad Gita by Krishna himself. So Śrīmad Bhāgavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 6, very popular, Sabhaya Purusham, Parodhamu, that's what we'll start with. And then, Bhagavad Gita 1866, stop all religions and surrender to me. Okay, so those are the two. What we're saying in so many ways is, in so many words, is to propagate a Krishna consciousness around the world from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, the conclusion should be about these. Abandon all variety of religions and surrender to me. The purpose of life is, or the supreme occupation of life is Sabhaya Purusham Parodharma. So let's do the way we do normally. Starting with Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 6. So, please repeat after me. Sa Vai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Ahokshaje Ahoitiki Apratyata Yayatma Suprasidati Savai Punsam Paro Dharmo Savai Punsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Ahokshaje Yato Bhaktir Ahokshaje Ahoy tu kya patihata, yayatma supasidati, yayatma supasidati. Okay, now please repeat. Sa, that, very, certainly. Punsham for mankind, para sublime, dharma occupation, yata by which, bhakti devotional service, ahokshati unto the transcendence, ahoituki causeless. Apatihata, unbroken, yaya, by which, atma, the self, supersedati, completely satisfied. Translation by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity, is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Please repeat. The supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity, is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Okay. Now, little change, we will definitely talk about the purport, but I've kind of set it up so that the purport is very long. We'll just take it step by step or section by section and comment on it. Om Agina Tividandasya Gyana Gana Shalakaya Chakshu Unlitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamala Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupa Sagajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Avadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhi Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanusute Devi Paramami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sunibhya Evacha Vatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschatyadhesha Charine Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Guhyati Chenamaha Anandali Namaya Vigrahaya Himavya Divasya Vishnuraya Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste okay. So the translation again, the supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. So this text in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 6, in Srimad Bhagavatam it indicates that it's being spoken by Sudha Goswami. Now Sudha Goswami was present when Maharaj Parikshit was preached to by Sukadeva Goswami. There were a lot of very highly distinguished pure devotees assembled near the bank of the Ganga. Maharaj Parikshit was to die in 7 days. Srila Prabhupada said he was lucky to know that he was dying in 7 days. We don't even know that we're going to die in the next 7 minutes. So we are totally unsure. At least he was sure. So he could prepare, and that's exactly what he was doing. I know another sannyasi that left the body through cancer, and when he went to the hospital, he was told that he had 3 months to live. And he thanked the doctor. He said, "Thank you very much, 3 months is a long time. It's definitely more than 7 days. So, you know, you can prepare a whole lot more then." Such devotees, because they're not concerned about the body so much, they are connected to the spiritual world. So, when it's time to go, it's time to go. But then, here is just a temporary place. It's we that try to make this a permanent place, even though we leave the body. So, coming back to the point, so Sudha Goswami returned to Naimisharanya, the forest Naimisharanya. There were sages, and only yesterday I found out how many sages were there to listen to Sudha Goswami. Sudha Goswami was appointed as the one to talk about Srimad Bhagavatam, what he heard from the lips of Sukadeva Goswami. The number of sages in Naimisharanya, 88,000. If you can imagine 88,000 sages in Naimisharanya. We right now in Kali Yuga, everything is little to us. So 1,000 people, 2,000, yeah, that's a lot of people. It's nothing to us, drop in a bucket. So the sages are all, and actually Radha Maharaj is the one that mentioned this number. And then he mentioned a funny joke about it. Said, so Sita Goswami spoke to 88,000 sages and he didn't have a microphone. You can imagine. They all could hear him though. All right, our bodies are so declined over the years that we could go on and on and on and on about how highly elevated sages could hear much better than we can. For example, Srila Vyasadeva wrote the Vedas, right? Well, he didn't really write the Vedas. He spoke the Vedas. Ganesh was the one writing, and his hut was 15 minutes away from Srila Vyasadeva. Still, he could hear and write. So that just tells you how ears have gone down quite. At least we can chant Hare Krishna with it, right? We hear that we're chanting, so that's good. At least it works a little bit. So, supreme occupation. So we have all kinds of work that we do, material work, but the most important work, supreme, the topmost for all humanity, is that type of work by which mankind can express love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Work in order to work from your heart. Give to the Lord in service. And as Sukadeva Goswami described it, and Sukadeva Goswami is repeating, this kind of service must not have any motive. We go to work, we are employed, those of us that are employed, we know why we work, whether we like our jobs or not. The motivation is, I am going to get paid after a period of time. Regularly. So this is loving devotional service, and for loving devotional service you don't pay or don't expect pay, although the Lord himself is so kind and loving that he will love you back. But we don't say we're expressing love to the Lord in service so that we'll get something. As soon as you say you get something for him, and it's like the prayers that the religionists have been praying, Lord, give me this, give me this, give me that, give me that. They don't even talk about service, just give me this, give me that. Thank you for doing this for me, and so on. It's all about what they can get. The Buddhists aren't supposed to be like that. We are servants of the servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in that case, servant is just render service. And it should not be interrupted. There is no retirement from devotional service. It doesn't exist. Srila Prabhupada did not retire. Srila Prabhupada was still serving on his deathbed. He was serving on his deathbed. Still preaching, so that the tape recorder to record what he was saying. And he wasn't even giving last minute instructions. He was still preaching from the Shastra, the purpose he was giving at the time he was dying. Bhishma Dev, at the time he was going to leave the body, he gave a whole lot of instructions to Maharaj Yudhishthira about how to rule properly. Ravan, the demon Ravan, when he was dying, he also gave instructions to Lakshman. Very beautiful instructions. I have my computer somewhere. I don't know where the airport. I knew where I could read it for you. A lot of good advice. He was also dying then. Now, if they were dying and were still talking about Shastra and giving good advice, they obviously hadn't retired from devotional service. And Ravan lived as a demon. He's actually a pure devotee, but he played the role of a demon to satisfy Lord Narayan. And still he did that. Of course, at the time when they leave in the body, they connected with transcendence then. They're not acting as demons anymore at the time. Yeah. So then his consciousness totally changed. But he came to do a service based on what Lord Narayan wanted. So, Sridhar Goswami reached to 88,000 sages. So the sages, this is part of the purport now. I said I'd read the comment. So this is part of the purport. The sages asked him to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures and present the most essential part so that fallen people or the people in general might easily take it out. So they were asking him to summarize the revealed scriptures he had heard in Srimad Bhagavatam and present the most essential part for, so that fallen people or people in general, whether they're not fallen or not, or whether they were, might easily take it up, whatever the essential part says to do. So he was given the task. Now the sages, there's a connection here. Why were sages saying that he should talk about the scriptures, in this case Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad himself is a summary, Vedanta Sutra summary, comment on it, or the essential part of it taken up. So basically when they say the essential part, present the most essential part, it means present the whole Bhagavatam anyway, because that was the essential part. So that people in general might easily take it out. Now this very much connects with the aim of the sages themselves. They were in Naimisharanya to perform yagya for the benefit of people in general. Therefore, when they got Sutta Goswami to agree to talk about what he had heard, Srimad Bhagavatam, they still were thinking about the same aim, so that people in general could benefit from it. That was the reason that they had gathered there. Srila Prabhupada continues. The Vedas describe two different types of occupation for the human being. Two different types. One is called Pravriti Marga, Marga's path, the path of sense enjoyment. And the other is called Nivriti Marga, the path of renunciation. Nivriti Marga, path. Sometimes you hear the word Tyaga. Tyaga is also renunciation. Sometimes you know, more than one word means the same thing. So two paths. Now, if you've been around Krishna consciousness for a while, you probably are putting two and two together already. One is called the path of sense enjoyment, the other one is called the path of renunciation. Which one would you be about? I wouldn't have to ask you this because I'm sure you can answer it on your own. Because that's what non-devotees are doing, Pravriti Marga, path of sense enjoyment. So Srila Prabhupada, of course, wouldn't just leave it out plainly. He goes on to say, the path of enjoyment is inferior, sense enjoyment is inferior, and the path of sacrifice or renunciation is sacrifice for the Supreme Course to Krishna, is superior. Now, clearly, the English here says enjoyment. So how can enjoyment be inferior when people like to enjoy? In fact, the soul itself is into bliss. Well, we're not talking about spiritual enjoyment here. We're talking about material enjoyment. It is temporary. Many, many, many times, those people, even by karma, Sisi Radha Shara Bihari Ki, so some people by karma, good karma, think that they're really enjoying this life here. But Srila Prabhupada disputes that. And rather than me put it differently or paraphrase it, I'll just read what Srila Prabhupada says. So material existence of the human being is a diseased condition of actual life. Now that's backed up other parts too in the Shastra. Material existence is a diseased condition compared to actual life. Actual life is spiritual life, like the way it's lived in the spiritual world. And we are practicing here in order to join the extended family in the spiritual world. So why is material existence a diseased condition? Well, we have senses that are imperfect. The whole material world is described as a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Don't expect perfection in a perverted. It's not possible. Okay? So we are living life, but it is life which is a perverted reflection of the real thing. And we are away from home in this place temporarily. And those of us that have said yes to Krishna, we are on our way back. Some people say, well, I'm not initiated. You are on your way back. See, the Radha Govinda Maharaj described, if you say yes to Krishna, you're on your way back. The difference is when you get there. It's just a question of time. It's only a question of time. Now, it's not that you are so great that you are on the path so you're going to get there. No, Krishna is going to give you mercy in a few lifetimes to take you back. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, and if that means that you don't get enough mercy to go back to the spiritual world after you leave this body, the next body is going to be set up so that those things that give you difficulty will be taken care of. And that's whether we like it or not. We get born in a situation where we can move forward. This is how Krishna sets it up. So really, it's in our hands. You want to go faster? Sure. You can try to do everything you need to do this lifetime to go faster. Or that some things in material world, which have already been told, is a diseased condition of life. If we get attached, too attached to some things, because Maya is pushing us to get too attached to it, then that reason would be taken into consideration by the mercy of the lowest agent, the transcendental system, so that the next life, you move forward. Sometimes people may do all kinds of things because they don't have enough money. And so they never took spiritual life seriously. But Krishna would arrange next time for that to be provided, so that they don't have to spend so much time making money and still focus, rather than worry about how to make money, how to live, focus more on Supreme Personality of Godhead, service to Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's quite obvious to devotees who are quite wealthy now and dedicated their whole life. The one that's biggest one known in ISKCON is the, I have to get this right, the granddaughter of Henry Ford, the one that came, right? The granddaughter of Henry Ford, the nephew of the granddaughter, Amrish Das Prabhu, is a Prabhupada disciple. By inheritance of the Ford Foundation, Ford Motor Car Foundation, he is a billionaire. In other words, if he was not going to spend time in Krishna consciousness, he would live his life as a billionaire. Not millionaire, billionaire would he be. There's that much fortune in the family. And he won and has all of this. But he has thrown the money from Srila Prabhupada, sent it towards TOVP, the Temple of Vedic Planetarium. So many other people have done a lot of work. And Sariputta Prabhu, who's now left his body, math, PhD mathematician from Cornell University, I saw him, met him a number of times, but 1998 in Alachua. He took what was in the Bhagavatam and his math knowledge and designed what should be the better arrangement of the universe, better than the scientists know. So at some point, the scientists will be going to Temple of Vedic Planetarium to try to get it right. This is how much is there now, so much that we benefit from. He left his body not too long, maybe 2000, something like that, around the time. So actual life, we say, Srila Prabhupada says, material existence is the disease condition of actual life. So then actual life is spiritual existence, or Brahma-bhuta, where life is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge, which means life based on the soul. On the soul. Right now, the soul is in captivity, in a sense, these physical bodies, temporary physical bodies, in the heart area. Srila Prabhupada continues that material existence is temporary, illusory, and full of miseries. It's temporary, we know that. The earth would leave. All of us would go. Just different times. Different times. So, material life existence or material existence is temporary, but it's also illusory. And that's the part that's most difficult. It's illusory, but it's illusory on so many levels though. It's illusory on an individual level, it's illusory on a family level, it's community level, national level, international level. It's very illusory. Now, how you know is just compare what the Shastra says compared to how people are behaving. Your own family members who are not Krishna conscious, look how they're behaving. The country, you listen to the news, look at what's going on. So things are getting worse and worse and worse. The illusion is people think they're going to be happy here. It doesn't work that way. Srila Prabhupada, one time, one of his lectures, he said that there are some who don't believe in God. They do not believe in God. And he says, if you don't believe in God, you will believe in God at some point, because you believe and you know that there's something called death. So he says, if you don't believe in God, then God will come to you as death. It will take away everything that you work for. You can't fight the statement. It's true. Now, whether they call death God, that's up to them. But basically what Srila Prabhupada is saying is, so if you don't believe in God, then you will see, because those who don't believe in God, they can concomitantly at the same time think they have control over things they do. So death is what proves to you you have no control. It doesn't matter how much that you have, it's going to be taken away from you. Okay. So there is no happiness at all. In other words, material existence. There is no happiness at all. There's just a futile attempt to get rid of miseries. And the temporary stopping or cessation of misery is falsely called happiness. So material life is really full of miseries. There is no happiness in it, but just people trying to get rid of those miseries, then they say, this is called happiness. It's like Srila Prabhupada gives an example of a man with a heavy load on his back. And he's struggling because the load is tilted a little bit to the side of his back. So that back is hurting very much. And he sees somebody and says, please, can you straighten the load, put it down, smack on my spine so it's straight and it's balanced on both sides. So when he gets that kind of help and the load gets put properly, he says, I'm good now. You still got a load in your back. What's the real thing to do? Take a load off. But this is the life we live. We're hanging on. The miseries don't go away. They don't go away. The physical body gives us miseries. Now that, you know, I've gotten up in age and I'm beginning to find out what usually was just written. I live with people who are younger than me now, so they can tell now. So they're learning when you get to your 50s and 60s, life, now the mothers in the 40s come, she's also complaining. So the girls are beginning to realize, yeah, there is a trend. Of course there is a trend. There's a trend of breakdown of the body as you go on. This is the way life is. So if the body is going to break down, it's funny. Some people are very rich. Billionaires, and the names and the faces come in the magazines. 5 years from now, look at the face. He's gotten older. It doesn't matter how much money this particular movie star is dying of this. He got so much money. Is he dying? They are dying. So real enjoyment, temporary, and it won't satisfy you in the very end, because your body is going to slow down. And so the saying is, when we're younger, we spend our health to get wealth. And then when we get older, as some of you will find out, we spend now the wealth for our health. In other words, as you get older, the hospital bills get bigger because the body slows down. When you're younger, you work and make a lot of money, you save, and you get older, and then money gets taken away by the hospital. But the medical establishment, you get broke again. Back and forth, what a life. So that's why it's illusory. It seems like it'll give you happiness, but not really. But not really. So, the path, this is what happened, here's the solution. The path of progressive material enjoyment, not the solution, let's mention it again. It's temporary, miserable, and illusory. So that's inferior. But devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which leads one to eternal, blissful, and all-cognizant, all-knowing life, that's the superior quality of occupation. Therefore, it doesn't matter what our situation is, and sometimes because of the situation, we're forced to spend more of our day in material things. We should definitely make time for the spiritual things, and that time that you make for the spiritual things should be of the highest quality or attention that we give to it. In other words, we may be unfortunate because we're not sannyasis. Sannyasis do 100% Krishna the whole day, right? So bless their hearts all the time. But many of us are not in that situation. Material energy, we have to do something. But that time that we spend should be really, 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 for spiritual things, very high quality. Now, some of us have been chanting for a while. We'll spend a little time talking about chanting. When we start, many devotees have preached about this. Chanting is not something we've done, and now we're beginning to do, so it takes up some of our day, and we have to learn to meditate. It tells us we have to chant with attention, and that we're struggling with that because the mind is roaming all over the place. So it's all of this we are trying to deal with in chanting. Yet, Lord Chaitanya has said, the Lord has put all his transcendental energies in his holy name. So it becomes necessary. Guru is guiding us, chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then it is said that after a while, now we don't know how long that is, but after a while, chanting becomes sweeter. So do we even believe it's going to become sweeter, especially for those of us who haven't reached that point and we're still struggling? Now, here is one realization about chanting, and we would want to put that out, and you take into consideration and do what you like with it. The holy name is definitely all important. It's the Yuga Dharma, what we do in this Kali Yuga. So the important thing is, no matter what, we have to stay with the chanting. Never stop. We stay with the chanting. But chanting is supposed to be, you see, the Lord's name is everything. Even the Supreme Prabhupada says, once you say Hare Krishna, you've said it all. Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Hare is the energy. He's the Lord and his energy. So just Hare Krishna is saying everything. So you definitely have to stay with it. Keep chanting every day. And you feel the presence of Krishna when you chant every day. So now let's talk about the quality. Paying attention is important. Now, we'll go a little deeper than that. And I'll talk a little bit about my own life, because I made a connection with that. When I was little, now my mother was a teacher, elementary school teacher. A few years after I was born, she became the principal of the school. She was very expert at dealing with children. She really knew how to get children excited about, you know, studying, about working. She was very experienced. She was a trained teacher. Now, mother, right? So I lived with her in the house. Now, what she was doing, she knew that little kids, if they do something good, even a little thing that's good, and you praise them a lot, praise them for what they've done, they get very excited. That daddy or mommy loves whatever. So at the house, we had my sister and myself, my daddy would come every now and most of the time he was not around. So the housework was divided among all three of us, not just my sister and me. She had hers, I had mine, and my sister had hers. And so we all did, and it was easy to teach us because you see her, she's ain't doing it, she's doing it herself, it's easy to do. So I found out that sometimes when she's not around and I get some work done, not the work that's assigned to me, because that she expects me to do it, but something else in the house that she wasn't expecting, and she comes and I've done it, she gets really excited. I get praised like anything. You thought to do this for me? One time she made a statement that was really, I didn't understand it when I was a kid, but now I do now. She told me after I'd done something really nice for her, for the house, and she was excited, she said, I really went through a lot of pain to give birth to you, but what you have done, I realize that it's worthwhile. Now that's a heavy statement coming from a mother. I have no idea what it is like, boy, what do I know about what they go through in the giving child? But she made that kind of statement. So then I learned that if I do something, some work, not just gifts, just work that she doesn't know that I would do, and I take it upon myself, and she comes back to find out it's done, and it's done very nicely, I will get praise left and right. So I kept doing that. So now I was doing it for her. I will get praise, but because I know she likes it, so I'm doing it. Now, Chandamani Swami made this statement about chanting. And it took me a while to make this connection. This is when I was younger, it was true. Now she's saying the same thing. So Chandamani Swami said, chant for Krishna. Chant for your guru. So now, instead of just chanting to finish the prescribed number of rounds, chant, because if you do that, Krishna will like it. Krishna will like you because you're chanting. Guru will like you because you're chanting. So now it gets to a point where, believe me, if you think that way when you're chanting, your chanting is pretty good. You will not be distracted so much. You're doing it so that Krishna is happy with you. You're doing it so that Guru is happy with you. It's a whole different consciousness. You will get away from trying to finish the round so that I'm done. And okay, I'm 16. They said 16, I'm done. 16, therefore, don't bother me. I have everything to do the rest of my life. No, for the rest of my day. You chant because as you chant in the words, you know Krishna is getting happier and happier. And you'll be more motivated to chant from your heart. From your heart. And it took me a while to actually make that connection. Yeah, my mom used to be so excited when I did stuff you didn't expect. So then if you do it for adults or your superiors, they love you. So chant like that. Chant like that. And then, so that, you know that Krishna is happier with you the more you chant. You will get closer and closer and closer to loving the Supreme Personality of God. That is the end result. You're going to begin to like the Lord. And now the service, everything you're doing because you like, Krishna says, I should serve devotees. So I serve devotees very nicely. Because I know if I do that, Krishna will like it. So that's why I do that. And the relationships and so on. Krishna doesn't want me offending anybody. Srimati Radharani hates it when we offend anyone. Therefore, I'll make sure I don't offend anyone. Including having to be tolerant, even if somebody comes at me, that normally would make me angry. Tolerant, because the Lord is watching and he's not going to like that. Just that, he's not going to like that. Therefore, I won't do it. So, Srila Prabhupada says, this is sometimes, now he's going to talk about Bhogatyaga, polluted. We mixed inferior quality and superior quality in a little time, material enjoyment, a little time, renunciation and spiritual, you know, service and so on. So, he says, for example, adoption of devotional service for material gain. For material gain, that's not supposed to be. It's certainly an obstruction to the progressive path of renunciation. Now, renunciation or stopping things that are material for ultimate good is certainly better than an occupation where you have enjoyment in a diseased condition of life. Actually, there was another lecture I was listening to just this past week. And Srila Prabhupada made a connection about the way we live our life and the way Krishna enjoys. Because we're trying to enjoy. Many of us have studied hard in school, gotten big degrees, and by good karma, gotten good jobs, and now there's decent amount of money coming home to the house. All the bills are paid, and there's even some left over. Some money left over. So then, you know, we can go on different trips and enjoy ourselves and so on. Then Srila Prabhupada said, but Krishna, he doesn't work. He enjoys himself. So you're thinking you're earning a good salary to enjoy, take time off to go on vacation and so on and enjoy yourself. But Krishna enjoys himself. And Srila Prabhupada, but do you think, he says, Krishna goes to work like you go to work? Get to work at 9 o'clock in the morning and work in the evening or even work from home on the computer and go on and go on to the next week and then the following week and the time comes and the paycheck comes and he goes to the bank and gets some money. Sound familiar? Gets money, pays all the bills, and then he goes to Radharani. I got extra money. Let's go enjoy. Is that what Krishna does? Of course not. He's enjoying the whole time. So see, we are working hard though. That part we tend to forget that we're working hard just to get that. But Krishna doesn't have to do any of that. So there is hard work all of the time. The lion is called the king of the jungle. But what does a lion do in order to feed itself? He has to go chase animals that are stronger than and bring them down. Sometimes they work in groups. Sometimes they strategize different direction here, that direction there. See, they get one, a whole bunch of, you know, animals running away, and they catch one. And then they all feed on that one. And that's the lion, the strongest. That's the way he lives his life. So this is Prabhupada says, does the lion just simply lie down and some animal that's weaker comes to wake him up? My dear lion, you are the strongest, I'm here, just open your mouth and I'll enter. Is that the way the lion lives his life? Of course not. He has to work hard. He has to work hard. So this is the life that we live. And so sometimes we need to remind ourselves, the life that Krishna lives is the life we're going to live in the spiritual world. There is no work. Absolutely no work. Just enjoyment the whole time. So sometimes things here, material things here, especially when we categorize ourselves as wealthy, makes us forget, and that's the illusion, makes us forget that spiritual life does not involve any work at all. The body doesn't break down at all. You don't need to go to school. All of that. And still we enjoy ourselves. So Srila Prabhupada says, devotional service to the Lord must be pure in quality, without the least desire for material enjoyment. So one should therefore accept the superior quality of education in the form, of occupation, in the form of devotional service of the Lord, without any tinge or unnecessary desire, wanting something for it, field of action, and philosophical speculation. So this alone can lead one to perpetual solace in the service. So then, Sabhaipunsam Harod Dharma, Dharma. So Srila Prabhupada spent a little time talking about that. So the root meaning of Dharma is that which sustains one's existence, and that one that supports the person's existence. So we use, or Srila Goswami or Sukadeva Goswami for that matter, purposely use the word Dharma. A living being's sustenance of existence is to coordinate his activities with his eternal relation with Supreme Lord Krishna. Sustenance of one's existence, sustain one's existence, to keep one's existence. How to do it is everything that you do, you have to coordinate in such a way, you have to, you know, plan it in such a way that it's connected with serving the Supreme Lord and his devotees. You have to. So that's what intelligence is most, the best used for. Thinking about and praying about how I can connect everything that I do and everything that I have in the service of the Supreme Lord. That is intelligence. When one does that, that person is intelligent. Because then we are satisfying the Supreme Lord at all times. And because we are satisfying the Supreme Lord, then the Lord is happier with us. And Krishna is the one who makes the final decision. When we're leaving here to go to the spiritual world, Krishna is the final say for every individual. When a person dies, if they initiated, their spiritual master takes them to meet Krishna. We'll spend a little more time on this. Meet Krishna, and the spiritual master that initiated the devotee acts as a defense attorney, speaks on behalf of the disciple, that Sri Krishna, this disciple did this, he did this, did this, 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 this. Because you would expect that at that point the spiritual master is not going to talk about the wrong things that the disciple did. Because he's trying to plead for the Lord to allow. Now Krishna is very kind. Krishna is very kind. I know devotees that the spiritual masters have said that they were allowed back in the spiritual world. And I know apparatus they committed. And we live with them, so we know the mistakes they made. We saw it. Still, the Lord is so merciful that when we serve, that's the important thing. Serve from our hearts. Give money from our hearts. Serve from our hearts. Then, that's what Krishna watches for. Because we're not going to do everything perfectly. So, that is what Krishna would base his decision as to whether you go back or not. Now, so let's look at other categories. So, a person didn't quite make it. Maybe they didn't take his sadhana seriously. Maybe they didn't take it enough that Krishna would arrange for them to get a spiritual master, and by the mercy of Krishna, one gets guru. So now there is no guru to take you back to the spiritual world, which means the arrangement is made for you to continue. Now the Muni has said, whatever you gain or you work for, spiritual credits in that life won't be thrown away. You won't start over. When you're born again, it continues. So some people would master some parts of the regulated principles. Say no meat eating, no gambling. They never violated that by the time they understood it. Next time they come back, they'll have no trouble being vegetarian. As a matter of fact, Krishna would even put you in a situation where you have to deal with meat. Not even that. He'll put you right in a situation where that is already cared for and now you're going on. The whole idea is to get back eventually to the spiritual world. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, says an average of 3 lifetimes, the devotee is gone back. An average of 3 lifetimes. And now if you want to say here 3 lifetimes, that's up to you. I'd rather do one and that's all, but average of 3 lifetimes. And actually that's quite short. Now we're talking about 300 years. That's short. We have been in a material world for millions of years. So many planets, up and low and medium, all kinds of things the mind has thrown at us. And now, do this. About 3 lifetimes. So it's actually quite short. In the next 300 years, none of you will be here. None of you. Krishna will send you back to the spiritual, kicking and screaming, even if you didn't want to go, because he will set things up one lifetime, another, so that you have no choice but to grow and have people around you like that, to push you to go. He's that kind, he's that merciful. So now let's talk about when a person is not going to the spiritual in that lifetime. They will not meet Krishna, they will have to, so many other arrangements are there to be put in a different womb of a devotee mother and get born again in a situation where the things that disturb them, their devotion, the lifetime, much of it is taken away. So that's there. There's the other side of it too. If you did really, really, really bad things, then sometimes you have to pay for what you did. And so if you put in a different body, that you still be chanting Hare Krishna in this Kali Yuga, but there will be some lessons that you may have to learn, token punishment for some lessons that you have to learn for the things that you did that you shouldn't have done in previous life. Now, when, and now we talk about the worst case scenario, and devotees don't think this happens, but it does happen. One thing for sure is, for a devotee, when they're leaving their body, the Yamadutas don't come anywhere near you. The Yamadutas will not come for the subtle body. That's one of it. Just by wearing Tulsi Mala alone, they will not come around. They won't. So that's one advantage there. But if somebody has been really bad, you know, offensive, and for the most part, whatever you say, they don't say, they got a big false ego, and they're figuring out everything themselves, and they make so many mistakes, because practical application, vigyan, is real spiritual life. Not what's in the Shastra. Shastra just backs up life. The proof of lifestyle is in the Shastra. But the life itself is, you know, devotee life is a life in itself. It's different from material life, but it's life in itself. So then, if we make so many mistakes that it gets to the point where nothing can be done, the person have a spiritual master, they do. If we're talking about a situation, the person has a spiritual master. So what happens? The spiritual master will take the disciple to Yamaraj. The Yamadutas don't take any disciple to Yamaloka. But the spiritual master can and does in that situation. Because now is Yamaraj that's going to point out to the devotee what they did wrong. And are there punishment in the hellish planet for the devotees? The answer is yes. It's in the Bhagavatam. So if we have this wonderful opportunity, the worst thing to do is to be offensive. Because offenses is what kills devotion to mad elephant is. Very, 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 very careful about offenses. Even if you didn't chant 16 rounds, but you were clean and stayed away from offenses, your next life is a whole lot better than those who be chanting 16 rounds and have been offending people. A lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. So this is the life we have to pay attention to. So we'll go through there. Right. Now, Srila Prabhupada says, each and every living being has an eternal form in the spiritual existence, and Krishna is the eternal attraction for all of them. Krishna is a complete whole, and everything else is his part and parcel. The relation is one of servant and the served. Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna is the served and we are the servants. So the whole idea of having guru and even having senior devotees around is to learn to practice serving the person that's been put in the higher authority. So we have to respect those in higher authority. The senior devotees, the Prabhupada disciples, seniority is by initiation. Prabhupada disciples, all of that, especially the Prabhupada disciples, because they are at the level of our gurus. The respect we have to give them is the same as the respect we have to give to our gurus. Therefore, if you offend a senior disciple who is a Prabhupada disciple, and you have a guru, then you're saying, the transgender system takes it to mean that you will do the same thing to your guru. So the offense to a senior Srila Prabhupada disciple who is not your guru is the same in quality, in seriousness, as offending your guru. It's that bad. So what happens in offense? Well, if somebody has done that, they have to apologize and they have to serve that particular person. You apologize and you serve. And then it gets, and of course, you know, you don't make the same mistake again. Srila Prabhupada says, as far as mistakes, yes, we're going to make mistakes. That's part of human nature. Mm-hmm. Just don't make the same mistakes over. That's his advice. You may make mistakes, but don't make the same mistakes. Then you make the same mistakes and you're not learning them. Okay, so that says don't do. Now, in Nectar of Devotion, there's this part of the preface, in the first part, the preface. And we'll end with that. Material engagement means accepting a particular status for some time and then changing it. It's very, very common here in the United States. How many people stay in the same job for the whole thing? Not here especially. They think, oh, you change jobs three times, every time looking for another one that will give you more salary. Of course, changes, house, changes, people buy different houses in an attempt to improve their material situation. So there's change. So this position of changing back and forth, that's called Bhoga Tyaga. Now, I talked about only material, but Bhoga Tyaga is actually alternating between sense enjoyment and renunciation. And that happens to us a lot. A living entity, cannot steadily remain either in sense enjoyment or in renunciation. Change is going on purposely, so we cannot be happy in either case because of our eternal constitutional position. So what is the Nectar of Devotion is saying here is because there are changes, if we go back and forth, sense enjoyment and a little bit of Hare Krishna, a little bit of sense enjoyment, a little bit of Hare Krishna, we will not be happy. Even in the times where we say we are enjoying ourselves, we always should connect that enjoyment, what we call enjoyment, to Krishna consciousness. That way, then every time, we are constantly thinking of Krishna. So, sabai punsam paro dharmo yato bhakti ahostite ahoitiki apadriyata ayatma supersedati. The supreme occupation, the most important occupation, even though you don't get a paycheck for it, that's all right. You get to go back to Godhead, though, which is best. Supreme occupation is to lovingly serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees without wanting anything and without stopping. Hare Krishna. Yeah. So, Sisi Hara Shri Bihari Ki, Sri Prabhupada Ki. Any questions? Hare Krishna, yeah. Can you guys give him a mic? There's a microphone right there. Okay, well, the cordless is ready. It's actually open, yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
So one point that in particular I liked in the today's lecture was when you said chant for Krishna or chant for Guru. But in our conditioned state, we are always looking for some tangible reciprocation. So how to know that Krishna or Guru, they are happy with our efforts?
Hare Krishna. Very good question. It's funny, the answer to that is it's funny, but it's also quite serious. You will find out. It will happen in your life. If you just push the one on the other side in the wall. Okay. Krishna is performing miracles the whole time. When we put our hearts out to serve the way we described, and I don't have to repeat it, we'll begin to see that our life is taken care of by Krishna. Krishna takes over our lives literally. And so many things will happen one after another, sometimes even daily, if we're observant enough, that we might think, well, I couldn't do this, or if I try to figure it out this way, it's not going to work, or maybe I give up this thing I can't do. And somehow, Krishna makes arrangement for that to happen over and over and over and over again. This goes on. See, and I'll just make one point, Bhakti Maharaj said, if we think so much of we ourselves deciding everything that happens in our lives, Paramatma doesn't interfere. He says, yeah, go make the decisions, everything. And then, at the end of the day, business as usual, you don't see any difference. You don't. But when you pray every day that, dear Krishna, dear Radha, dear Gurudev, what I'm thinking of doing today, let it be according to how you want. In other words, everything I think of, because I can think of decisions, I'll make decisions. But if the decisions are good, you approve of it and let it happen. And if they're not good, change it. Or even stop it. And say that and mean it. And if you do that, then now your whole day now becomes what Krishna likes and what he doesn't like. And what he likes and doesn't like is for our own good at all times. Because he never did anything bad. He never does anything bad to us. And this is how within it you're going to begin to see that the miracles that have. Miracles are the things that you couldn't have thought of or you couldn't have done. And they do for you. So if you chant that way, chant to please Krishna, you're going to see more miracles around. That's it. You're going to see. That's all I can tell you. You're going to see. Hare Krishna. Good question. Any other question? Not then we'll wrap it up. Okay. Gantrashmat Bhagavatam ki Sri Prabhupada ki Itai Guru Premanande. Glory to Sri Prabhupada.